Romans chapter 5. I'll be reading verses 1 through 11. So if you would, in your pew Bibles, you can open them up and follow along. I'm certain we got a number in here somewhere, if you want the page number. 1752. Here with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You see, just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. And very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man some might possibly dare to die, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And since we now have been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. This is the people of God. Let's pray. Father, as we search your word this morning, as we open our hearts and our minds to your Spirit, we pray that we know that you are with us, and we pray that you will just indwell in each of us. Open our hearts so we might be willing to learn, willing to hear your voice, willing to listen in all that you have to say to us. Help us to obey you in all things, for we do ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I can't hardly get the tears out of my eyes. This is going to be a rough morning. Jackie, I'm so glad you came. Jackie and her kids, and I think Jesse was probably the first child I ever baptized in our very first church in East Arroyo. I still remember that morning. I still remember the morning I showed up there, just like it was yesterday. I mean, time goes so fast. And I see all the people here, and I remember all that were here when I first came, and it's like how God has provided, and how I just need to thank him every day for what he has done for me and in my life and where he has led me. So I thought it appropriate that I sing thank you, Lord, this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the trials that come my way, the way I can grow each day as I let you lead. And thank you, Lord, for the patience those trials bring, and the process of growing I can learn to care. But it goes against the way I am, put my human nature down and let the Spirit take control of all I do. 'Cause with those trials come, my human nature shouts the thing to do, and God's soft promptings can be easily ignored. I thank you, Lord, with each trial I feel inside, that you're there to help, lead, and guide me away
from wrong. Could you promise, Lord, that with every testing, that your way of escaping is easier to bear? But it goes against the way I am. Put my human nature down and let the Spirit take control of all I do. But when those trials come, my human nature shouts the thing to do. God's promptings can be easily ignored. But thank you, Lord, for the victory that growing brings. It's surrender of everything. Life is so worthwhile. I thank you, Lord, that when everything's put in place, out in front I can see your face. It's where you belong. But it goes against the way I am. Put my human nature down and let the Spirit take control of all I do. And when those trials come, my human nature shouts the thing to do. And God's soft corrupting can be easily ignored. I thank you, Lord, for the trials that come my way. Each way I can grow each day as I let you lead. I got to compose myself here today. This is tough. You can't imagine how much love I feel inside right now. I see people that I've known most all my life. I'm really thankful Melly showed up. Melly actually was my first employer. I think I was 12 years old when I went to work at Melly's farm with Melly and Bill. I mean, how special is it for somebody to grow up in this area all these years and eventually end up right here for the past 15 or 16 years, whatever it's been. It's really incredible. It's really God's hand at work. When I got thinking about God's hands, and I got thinking about my hands and all of the different jobs I've had over my life, from learning how to run a wheelbarrow up into a spreader, and actually dumping it when it's full of manure without getting it all over me. I think the first one I did, Melly, I don't know if you remember this or not, Bill took me down there, we were cleaning out the calf pen, and he used to pull the manure spreader up alongside the barn, and he had a ramp he'd run up and down. And so Bill, he loaded the first one from the calf pen, full of manure, and he runs it up, and he dumps it in. He said, this is how you do it. No, do it. Well, I'm 12, never ran a wheelbarrow in my life, let alone a pitchfork. But I filled this wheelbarrow, so I run it all the way up, and I go to dump it, and it wouldn't go up all the way. I go to push it, next thing I know, I'm in the spreader. Wheelbarrow's in the spreader, and lots of other good stuff's in the spreader. Such a good time. But I got thinking about the hands that I've had over the years, and when I read the scripture this morning, I couldn't help thinking about what our hands do in our lifetimes. So when I started reading, how many read the sermon? Did anybody read the sermon before they came this morning? Good. If I flub up, you can come give the rest of it for me. So when I started to write this, I got thinking about different things we have control over in our hands and how we use them. So I thought, I better start out with asking some stuff that everybody knows. So how many people here have a family TV night? None of you sit down and watch TV together anymore? You can raise your hand. You can speak out here. I'm not afraid of it. How many of you have a TV with a remote control? That's better. Now we're getting some response. How many of you battle over the remote control? Come on, be truthful. Think about it. So are there any choices on TV that everybody in your family will watch together? Obviously not, because nobody has a TV night anymore. They're not cooperating, huh? Anyway, so to answer a couple of the questions, so in our house, so usually most nights after the day's long gone through and we've done what we needed to do that, I usually, Bonnie and I will sit down and watch TV. Usually I get in there first because she's always yakking on the phone or doing, figuring out, fixing or whatever. So I'm in there and I'm going through the channels and there's nothing on it. That seems to be new. Of course, there's nothing new on anyway. And we do have two remotes. I got one on my side of the couch and she's got one on her side of the couch. And you know, but there are times when she'll come in, she'll say, so what are you watching, hon? Do you care if I change the channel? I said, nah, I don't really care, but I do care because truthfully, I mean, I'm really not into the Home Shopping Network. And I'm sick of all them love stories on the Hallmark Channel. I can't take any. So anyway, she'll start flipping the channels, and next thing I know, I go to reach for the remote. My remote's gone. It's in her hand. I'll say, where's your remote? I don't know. Thought I had it. It's always somewhere else. So we do battle over the remote occasionally. But I got thinking about all this, and I got thinking about, so what show can everybody agree on? About the only show on TV that we never have any argument about agreeing on is Dirty Jobs. How many of you watch Dirty Jobs? Mike Rowe, you know, he goes in disgusting places. I mean, he's probably been in the manure spreader before. He's probably had to clean out calf barns. But you see all the different stuff that he has to do in his life. And it's just plain, dirty, nasty stuff. And I got thinking about God and how the dirty, nasty stuff he had to do for us in his life. Because God had the dirtiest job of all. And the more I think about these dirty jobs, I got thinking. So, how did God do it? How did God get dirty? Did we ever see God dirty? Did you ever see Jesus' hands dirty? You know, there's what I looked it up. There was like 1,400 verses or something. 1,400 times in the Bible. 1,466 times in the Bible that hands are mentioned. 56 verses about hands. And I thought for a moment I was going to look them up and I was going to start to list them, but the list got pretty long. So I figured, you guys can look them up for yourself. But then I started looking for pictures of Jesus' hands. You know, his real, everyday hands. And I thought about it for a minute. It's like, okay, there's got to be some pictures here. So I move on a line. I'm looking. I can't find Jesus with dirty hands anywhere. I'm thinking, he had to have. I wanted to see what his hands really looked like when he was alive. So all the artists, when they painted his hands, they are always pristine. Or either that, or their blood curve pierced from the nails he received when he was on the cross. I thought, this can't be right, because I know he had to have pretty hard-looking hands. I mean, my hands, I'd be pretty near every nail on my fingers. And we all know the hands get, the older we get, the more scars they show. The more our lives they tell, don't they? mean, God had the dirtiest job of all, didn't he? So when we read these scriptures, I got really thinking about it, I think. So what did Jesus have to do in his lifetime that would leave an imprint? So I'm thinking, Jesus, now what was his earthly father, Joseph? What was he? He was a carpenter or a stonemason, carving wood out. You know, how many carpenters have we here that never hit their hand with a nail? Come on, I know. Sandy, you've never hit your thumb with a hammer, have you? No, we all do, and that leaves marks. I want to see your hands real quick. Let me see your hands. Turn them over. Yeah, that's the hard side. We all have scars, dents, and divots because our hands tell who we are. They're really the windows to our souls, aren't they, when I look at it, when I see them. That's why I really wanted to see Jesus' hands, his everyday real hands, because I know he had the dirtiest job there was. In our text today, Paul, he gives us the dirt about this dirt. Verses 8 and 10, he said, "While we were still sinners, Christ, he died for us." And he also wrote, he said, "When we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son." So Christ was, as many of you hear, is incarnate. Who knows what incarnate means? Anybody? Dan knows. You want to tell me what that means? Just so I can. In the flesh, right. It's the appearance of God and his spirit in the earthly in earthly form, right? As a human, right? I mean, incarnation, it's really a fancy way of saying that God sent Jesus here to do the dirty work. To clean up the mess that we made because of our sin. God got his hands dirty. Jesus got his hands dirty while he was here with us. Because we made a mess of things. We made a mess of the relationship we had with God because of our sin. Max Lucado, he wrote this story. He said, a man who was had been most of his life a closet slob. We don't have any of those here. He just couldn't comprehend the logic of neatness. He said, why make up a bed if you're going to sleep in it again tonight? Or why put the lid on the toothpaste tube if you're going to take it off in the morning again? Well, the man admitted to being compulsive about being messy. Well, then he got married, and his wife was patient. And she said she didn't mind his habits if he didn't mind sleeping on the couch. Well, since he did mind, he began to change. He said he enrolled in a 12-step program for slobs. A physical therapist helped him rediscover the muscles used for hanging up shirts and placing toilet paper on the holder, and his nose was reintroduced to pine saw. Well, by the time his in-laws arrived for their visit, he was a new man. But then came the moment of truth. His wife went out of town for a week. At first, he was seventh, but something strange happened. He could no longer relax with dirty dishes in the sink or towels flung around the bathroom or clothes on the floor or sheets piled up on like a mountain on the bed. What happened simply? He had been exposed to a higher standard of living. And he became a neat freak. I mean, what Jesus does for us on the cross, he cleans us up. And he didn't clean us up so we could never get our hands dirty again. He cleaned us up to teach us how to get dirty. I always think of that old term, cleanliness is next to godliness. My mother used to say that a lot. Of course, she had a little more force to it all the time. But I don't think that's true. I really don't. Because it's exactly opposite of what the Bible teaches us. We need to get down and dirty. Especially with people who we're not normally associated with. Somebody who despises us. When's the last time you helped somebody out that despise you? When's the last time you communicated with them, told them that God loved them? That's what hands are for. That's why God gave us hands. I think about this. I think about hands a lot. When I go into a hospital or I'm waiting in a waiting room or especially at funerals, if I go there, the first thing I always notice is the hands. Because it does tell me pretty much about their life. If you see what their hands are. They really are a window to our souls. And they tell us so much about life. When I'm in a funeral parlor, if I'm looking at somebody who's lying there and I'm looking at their hands and know that now they're resting, I know it was the most active thing probably in their life, on their whole body, that they used was their hands. And I think about how Christ raised his hands, reached his hands out for us. How he went to the cross, really, he stretched out his arms to the cross. Allowed them to drive nails through him. He was God. He didn't have to do that. But he gave himself so that we might have a loving relationship with God once again. Let me read the words once again that Paul wrote. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You know, in this world where people, it seems anymore, go around clenching their fists. They're always mad at something. Maybe it's time we opened our hands. No matter who they are, no matter where they are. And offer them our help, our love, just as Christ offer his love for us and heal these relationships and all. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all that you have provided for us today. Thank you for all these hands that are here. Help them to open up and help their neighbor, to help each other. Hold out their hands in love. Maybe give a hug to a neighbor who has offended them. Or to someone who has never been able to be reached by another. Father, we do ask that you'd be with all of us. Guide us this day, for in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.